This is Smyfel Center.
This is Novice Nancy.
And you're listening to The Love Bite.
And that's at skidrowstudios.com. And you can call in at 800-893-9562.
That's 800-893-9562.
Oh, that made me miss her so much.
Aww.
Hello. So this is Novice Nancy, and Smyfel Center couldn't be here tonight because she's feeling a little bit under the weather. Turns out that Domly Doms get sick too.
They do.
They are vulnerable. But I have a guest here with me, and she's just all smiles. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, hello, all you naughty boys and girls out there in internet land. This is Lady Isadora.
She's totally like one of the cool kids. So when I met Smyfel Center, I also met Lady Dora around that time. Yes, right around that time.
Yes.
Yes, and they were just the two cool kids off in the corner, you know, talking shit about everybody else.
And we like to talk the smack.
Yeah, yeah. They were like those high school kids that hang out behind the auditorium.
Yeah.
Yeah. And smoke questionable substances.
That sounds really nice. I would like some of that right now. Thank you.
Oh.
No, thank you.
That can happen. Skid Row is a full service studio.
It seems to be. Minus the alcohol. Thank you.
Oh, man. So as I was telling you, had quite a weekend.
Yes, tell us all about Gru.
Gru, the extravaganza of unconferences. So this thing, as our listeners know, if they've been listening the past couple of episodes.
And for those who haven't, yes.
It's an unconference, as in there's no agenda. You just go, and everybody just has all these different things, all this different kind of expertise to offer, and pretty much everyone learns from each other. And I gotta tell you, me and Smyfel, we were a little worried. And I mean, that's saying a lot for her, because she's not, she's not a fan of like outlines and shit. I am. She's not. And it was just kind of weird. But we went and we met a lot of wonderful people, and they just, man, there was people who are local that we'd never even seen before.
People came out of the closet, didn't
they? Yes. Well, no. And there was someone there that had never, ever played publicly, had never even gone to a dungeon and just played privately for years. And so that was different. And I mean, there was people who usually go to other dungeons that she and I don't go to very regularly. It just people. And it ended up just being, God damn, it was fucking awesome. I mean, she taught a class on caning, and I was her demo bottom. I've never demo bottomed for her.
Did you demo naked? What did you... Of course you did, right?
No, I didn't. I just pulled down... Well, actually, no, I didn't pull down my underwear. She pulled it up a crack.
Well, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
It gives you something to hold on to.
She's been kind of nice about it. She just lifted up my skirt, and she just went at it like that. But that was new.
How dainty.
It was very...
How restrained.
Yes. But it was like a nice kind of objectification that I never get. You know?
Aww.
It was nice. So that happened, and there was other classes that were also offered, but I think the one that was kind of the highlight was the how to receive a blowjob gracefully. And
wait, that's not just rolling your head eyes back into your head and grunting, because that seems to be the normal.
No. Turns out there's some fucking etiquette to it. I mean, who knew? Who knew that it is not about, you know, face fucking someone, unless, of course, that's what they like and that's what you've negotiated and whatnot. But it was a class that I sort of, I mean, I don't even know what other fucking classes was going on at the same time, because everybody was there. And I think we were all just waiting for him to kind of just like gasp in pleasure, because he was talking the whole time as someone was sucking on his cock.
How restrained.
It was amazing. It was awesome. And this guy, so great answer is just, you got to look him up on the Twitter. God damn, this guy is so great. Very rarely do I meet someone and I just right off the bat do I take to them? Especially if they're a dude, because I'm just really weary about men. But he just was fucking awesome. So he's standing there and he's talking and he's going through beginning to end of the blowjob and just giving tips and whatnot. And this one, she's going to town on that cock.
I think she's had practice.
Probably. I don't know, but it was amazing. It was awesome. It was just great. It was just great. But so that happened. And then the evening there was a play party. And all of the people that had been there during the day came back. And of course, it was open to the public. So everyone went. And it was just cool. It was just a lot of, there was a lot of energy in there from during the day. And then when you combine that with like the regulars that go to that particular dungeon, it just was, I don't even know how to explain it.
No, I love conventions though. I've gone to Don Con a couple times and it brings all these people that you never see out, and everybody is putting out, they're dressed in their nines and they're just doing their best. They're like, they're there to show off and they're there to share, but you're definitely going to see all the sort of fringe acts that you never see on a normal Saturday night at a dungeon. So, it's always fun.
It was definitely pretty cool.
Does anyone go to these things that aren't in the lifestyle that just go because they get to see some live sex acts?
Well, yes. I have had my bad experiences with that. But I want to tame it down because, honestly, people have these weird ideas of what's going on, and it's very rarely that you get live sex acts. Yeah. I've never seen intercourse.
Yeah, that was probably a way one-off thing, because that was like awesome, but most of the other things that were going on were using how to use certain implements or just discussions, because we are such a cerebral community. We're intellectuals, we're all in our head, so a lot of the times it's about having that, I guess, open communication, things like that.
It's a lot more about impact play, though. It's like, it's a showy sort of thing, and everybody's vulnerable when they're having sex. And, you know, honestly, sex is more like a swingers thing. When we have sex after, most of the time, or sex before, or sex in the car, or whatever. But it's not usually out at a club.
It's only been it's only been a handful of times that I've seen someone having sex or getting oral pleasure.
That one goes
during a play party.
That's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for a guy to say, okay, I'm going to whip out my dick and I'm going to have a girl go down on me, than to, like, what am I going to do? You know, hurdle and strap, like, you know, hop on top of my sub while I'm like, no, in the middle of a scene.
I've seen it happen, man.
I don't know.
I've seen it happen.
I still haven't seen that in a major club, so.
I mean, as an outsider, it just sounds like, hey, one more reason I don't have to go to Amsterdam.
But you know what? Honestly, when the vanillas come in, you can tell them, first off, you can tell them that their first time there from about, a mile away.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're doing. They're awe-shocked. Their mouth's agape. They're acting like idiots. They're going up to submissives and asking them, can you spank me? and they're acting like jerks because they don't know what to do. They're nervous, so they're overcompensating, and they're just trying to pick up on every girl around because they're thinking, oh, this girl's easy. She's naked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, honey, she's owned. Hello. Yeah. If she's hanging out in a club naked with a collar on, I'm like, you're going to have a big bad dom coming after your ass with implements, okay? Let alone, I don't know, knives and fire. Come on.
So if I went there, you know, I would definitely like to watch.
But
I wouldn't, I'm not going to touch or talk to anybody.
And that is good. Because a lot of people don't get that, you know, yes, there are naked people. There are people in very vulnerable positions. Does not mean that that's an invitation to touch. But watching and just being there, that's always welcome. Fuck, we love it when people watch.
We like the voyeurs.
We love it. That's not an issue at all. But whenever it's somebody new, like, we can tell. And you'll get, you know...
Oh, they're perspiring. They're freaking nervous.
Yeah.
Especially if you go alone. Oh, I been around doing this forever, and I hate going to clubs alone. But if I was to go there, you know, as a newbie and say, okay, I'm going to go and watch what's going on. Yeah, they're basically over in a corner, and maybe they'll get up the courage to go and talk to somebody. But
it takes a lot
hard,
of guts.
It's a hard thing to do.
How do you find out about these conventions? Like, do you have to know someone in the community?
There's this thing called the internet.
Well, I mean, it's not like on the down low or anything.
No. The thing is that a lot of these type of events are posted on sites like FetLife. And unfortunately, I don't know what it is, but a lot of those events, like if you Googled something, anything that's posted in FetLife, for some reason, like events that are posted in FetLife don't come up like on a Google search.
No, it's not searchable within. But no, it does help if you know somebody, because I've been living in my new house for a year, and I did not know that Sanctuary's dungeon was literally up the street across from my Starbucks.
I don't know. Hey,
how convenient.
Drinks at your house before we go there. Of course there's FetLife, but then as you start getting to know people and your social circle gets larger and larger and larger, you do typically start to hear about events that maybe aren't even posted online. A lot of this shit's underground.
It is. There's no addresses on the websites when you go and look at them, too. You kind of have to know, because we're a little scared of those scary right-wingers who might not like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know what? You're assaulting someone Yeah.
They don't know that.
Oh,
we're just all bad. But that gets us to our topic tonight of why we do what we do.
Yes.
Why do we do what we do?
Sorry.
You should start. You're the professional.
So, man. So, it's such a loaded question. And I mean, in the limited amount of time that we have, hopefully we can discuss, our personal experiences, why we particularly do what we do, and maybe motivations that other people have. But I know for myself, a big reason of I'm just picking out one random reason, but a big reason why I serve Spiteful Sinner is because I care about her. I have the for her.
For all those who can't see, she just pointed towards her lady parts. Her pretty little lady parts. I needed to narrate that.
She's going to be really happy that you're giving those.
She's also pink right now.
Stop. Anyways, so that's, you know, one of my motivations is that. And it makes her happy.
It does. She's all cute and giggly when she's happy. I get that. There's a payoff there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, just that. That's, you know, one of the reasons why. I know that for a lot of people, there's that go-to, like, oh, you must have been abused as a child, or, you know, something like that. That's why you're such a kinky fuck.
Oh, yeah, because we were all spanked as children. Yeah, but we were all spanked as children. So,
yeah, clearly. Of course. Yeah, sure. No. I'm not saying that that does not have anything to do with it, but I don't fully agree with that. I don't fully agree with that.
I don't think there's any facts to reinforce that.
Yeah.
No.
I know that there's a sense of validation.
Sure.
You're
receiving praise for a job well done.
Yeah.
Now, this brings me to the dating in a vanilla atmosphere and dating in a BDSM atmosphere.
Ooh.
There's games in both, ladies and gentlemen, but at least there's rules in one.
Yes.
And we all decide on what the rules are and how to play the game. So, you know, that's the beauty of having a BDSM relationship, where you can literally sit down and say, I don't like that. We're going to do it this way, or we're going to do that way. We can negotiate it. But the whole idea is to have more communication.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to put it out there and say, okay, we're not going to play that, you know, the stupid games that most vanillas play.
Yeah. There's structure in that beautiful, you know what to expect. You know what to expect. You know what's expected of you.
If it's done right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's done right. I'm not saying I'm the best about that, but yes, that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Ideally, you know, Smiteful Center and I have mentioned a couple of times that we do have a contract, and in that contract, it states very clearly who holds what roles.
And it's beautiful. That is beautiful.
It states very clearly, and it's so then when it comes to a time where I am doing something really retarded, like, you know, the last few weeks, you know, topping from the bottom, which that's not okay. You know, you have something like a contract where you can refer back and say, hey, remember this?
Exactly.
Remember this?
Your infraction.
How about you stop the train? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, stop the train. She used that phrase with me when we had this huge discussion. And I gotta tell you, I mean, this weekend with the group, it really made me think, like, why are we in this relationship? And how can I understand her better as a dominant? And I realized, man, you know, I'm in my own little submissive world. And like, yes, let me serve you. Let me bring you this. Let me light your cigarette. Let me clean for you. Let me do all these things. And it's all let me, you know, I want to do these things. But there's so much more that I don't understand on her end of it, because I don't know what it's like to be a dominant. I have no idea. And I mean, it barely occurred to me this weekend that it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of work. And I don't think as a submissive, how can I even begin to show gratitude for that? You know what I mean?
Oh, every time you do a dirty dish, you're showing gratitude. My God. No, coming from the other end of that and having, say, you're playing with somebody who's not, you know, I would like you to do the dishes. Oh, I don't like doing dishes. Like, then you get to play the rope of like, am I going to force this person to do this? Or is this guy, not, you know, it's not his kink. And you get to come, and it is a lot of pressure. I'm like, do I fight that fight? Or do I find something that we can both relate on? And, you know, that's your battle as a dominant. But from my own perspective, why I do this, because most of the time, you know, I told you earlier, kind of got out of a relationship. And whenever you do that, it puts your head in a whirlwind and you're thinking, fuck, why am I doing this? Like, why can't I just be normal and get married and have babies and like feel sufficient? And I'm like, no, that does not make my little dirty spots warm and fuzzy. So my perspective is, hey, you know, I'm a pretty conservative looking girl. I have a 9-to-5 job that I've been at forever. I get up every morning and I get on the 405 and I commute. And I, you know, I pay my taxes, I show up, I vote. But you know what? I have this little secret. I have this alter ego. She has awesome outfits.
She really does.
And she really likes to tie up beautiful boys. So it, you know, it's I have my Clark Kent and I have my dark little Superman, and that kind of gets me through living this life. And it is my outlet on so many different fronts, and that's one of the reasons.
One of my reasons, and I'm pretty sure you'll share it too, is it's a lot of fucking fun.
It is.
It's so much fun.
And can I tell you, some of the most amazing people are in the lifestyle. I have made so many wonderful, amazing connections because they're usually creative as fuck. They're open-minded. They've gotten through this rigorous bullshit that is our cultural ideology. And they said, you know what? I'm not playing that way. I've got my own ideas. I know what I want to do in life. And I'm not going to play by these rules anymore. I'm going to surpass the taboo. And I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And when you start talking to people who are empowered like that, it blows your mind. And it's such a wonderful atmosphere. Now, there's always dicks.
Oh, yes.
I'm not saying everybody's awesome. But my God, have I met like the most amazing people in the scene.
And not to say that you couldn't meet them in a vanilla aspect. That's not the case.
No.
But in the BDSM world, people make themselves more vulnerable than they would.
Of course.
In everyday life. I mean, fuck, I tell you right now, I would not be, I would, I, there is very little other places I would walk around naked.
It's true. Doesn't it feel like yeah. it gets to this weird place where it's more comfortable than in the dungeon than in your doctor's office?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because you know, you're not going to be fined in a lump in a dungeon. No. They're putting them there. Yeah. So no, yeah, no, it's yeah. just, yeah, there is that sort of, hey, we're all in it together.
Yes.
And oh yeah, I'm really turned on right now. That old sort of thing. So it's just sexy.
Yes. So much fun. And I mean, having grown up in a really conservative family where, you know, sex was bad or just not talked about or anything, I'm finding that now as an adult and in exploring my kinks, I feel like, okay, I'm getting to know myself a lot more in a way that I would have never had the opportunity to do so.
It's funny you mentioned that whole religious upbringing, because I was like this sheltered child and we went to church every Sunday and it was all about, you know, the church and just religion 24/7. So by the time I was 16, I was like, no, I'm over that. That's not working. I've got hormones turned on. And it was so taboo. Even just, you know, just sex was so taboo. And you get that sort of, again, you get the excitement of, I'm doing something wrong. Whenever you play, like, you know, in the beginning when you're starting to experiment, and rarely do you get that legally when you're in your 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s. So it's that, it's a little bit of
adrenaline rush?
The fruit, the eating of the
forbidden fruit.
Forbidden fruit, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. But what came to mind also when I think of why I love the lifestyle and why I do the things I do, I hear from women all the time that men are not chivalrous. They've lost it. They don't open doors. It's just sort of, you know, you go out, you go Dutch. And I will tell you, when you have a submissive and you're a dom, that is just out of the question. They are always opening the door. I will tell you my one thing I remember. I was out with an old play partner of mine, and we stopped. I just had to go. I had to go to the bathroom. Normal thing. We were on a long drive. We were going to a dungeon. He stops. He gets out of the car. He opens my door. We stopped at like a fast food restaurant so I could go. And he lets me out. I go back in. He waits outside of the car for me so he can be there to open the door for me and shut it. And I'm like, that's awesome. Who does that? I mean, if you're not Cary Grant, you're not doing that in 2012. And I'm like,
so true.
Yes. So it's just having that level of respect. And, you know, I'm here to please you. I am here to be chivalrous and to open your doors and to make sure that you're happy and that you're taken care of. I mean, it's awesome. I don't see why women wouldn't want that.
Oh, yeah. There's also a really strong sense of family that you get from people that you get to know in BDSM. And
it's true. Nothing binds you together like being naked or being flogged together. Like, you see some heavy shit and you're like, I'm there with you.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah, totally.
But it's that whole insider's club. Like, hey, we all have the same secret.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, and granted, you may see someone in a dungeon and you may see them get the fucking beating of their life. And maybe it's somebody that you see on a regular basis. You see them, you know, once a month at the regular party. Sure. But you don't know them outside of there. You don't know their life. You don't know anything. But you feel like you know them so fucking well.
Well, you see that in yourself. And it's true. There's something about being in the lifestyle where you can actually seriously be open. Especially when you're going around in your vanilla life and you say, okay, I have to keep this on the DL because I want to be professional and I don't want my work friends to know. And you just keep it down low. But when you go into those situations, hello, everybody's out. And it doesn't matter if it's anything goes. If you're into being lit on fire or if you're being trampled, I mean, everybody has the openness to say, okay, that's cool, I'm down with that. Nobody's gonna be like, oh my god, that's so gross, I can't deal with that, I need to wash my hands and go away, like, you know, I've seen it. So it's that sort of, hey, we're all in it together, we're all the misfit toys.
Yes.
And And it's the instant connection.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm at this point where totally go to hell for saying this. No, I'm not.
I don't believe in hell.
Okay, then I guess I'm not. But, you know, it's getting to the point where my biological family, as important as they are to me, I find that I get so much more fulfillment from my kinky family.
Well, it's always that way. You've chosen your kinky family. You have. You've been able to veto any other friendships, and you're just keeping the ones you like. And no, we cannot do that with our relatives, unfortunately.
No, we cannot.
Now it makes Thanksgiving really awkward.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
So yes, but it does. It brings you together with a lot of cool people, and there is a familiar bond of, especially when you have so many mommy daddy types running around too. That kind of instigates
it. Yeah. So this Mindful Center is a little bit of a mommy dommy in that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I even feel like a mommy dommy there with her. She's just she's got that energy,
right?
Yes.
So yeah, it's really easy to feel that family feeling, but. Another really cool thing that I see is the exchanging of information, of like skills, you know, because you can walk into any place and anybody there can know more than you about any given topic. And what I've seen is that the more you communicate with others and you see how they do things differently, like it really molds the way that you do things and it makes you want to try out new experiences. So this weekend, I saw someone, she got this like really pretty like drawing on her back. Somebody drew on her with Sharpie.
Nice.
And then painted with acrylic paints.
Oh, so cute art project.
Yes, yes. And then did needles on her back. Ooh. And attached like fake flowers, those like plastic flowers to the end of the needles.
Can I just say sometimes this is like art projects gone wrong with needle play.
Seriously.
Oh my God. They go out of control. It's like Michaels and on steroids.
Right.
Yeah.
So, so Smiteful and I were watching that. She's like, oh my God, I want to do that. I want to do arts and crafts and blah, 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 blah. And she's really crazy about needles. This woman is just like fucking crazy about needles. I've never tried needles. I'm curious enough to give it a chance.
Well, you've had your blood drawn, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
I just say needles good, glue gun no.
No. No. No, 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 no.
Keep that craft, you know, keep the craft under control.
But yeah, but you know, it was something where she pointed out, you know, that she was really crazy about needles and it never occurred to her to use them like that. Because she does it, you know, she puts in the needles and she does it, you know, very decoratively, but it never occurred to her to use needles in that fashion.
Well, I only wonder about the paint. As long as the paint's not going to cause an irritant.
Oh,
yeah. It's not going to cause infection. That's the only thing I worry about.
It was like non-toxic paint. And he was very good about explaining what he was using and what not to use. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, she's then expanding her repertoire, if you will.
I know. But when you say non-toxic paint, all I can think is he's in like the kitty aisle with getting that paint set, right? With the big... Help me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
A little painting kit. You get it as a kid with the little brushes.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It looked fucking awesome though.
I bet.
Really cool. It was like a little baby Bugs Bunny with like a carrot for a dick that was sticking up. It was really funny. Oh,
no Sistine Chapel? No.
It was hilarious.
I love how you put fucking awesome and then, oh yeah, is there a bunny rabbit with a carrot and a dick?
It was great.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Really great. Oh my God. But yeah, those are some of the things that I like.
Yes. Why else do we do the things we do? We didn't mention awesome footwear. I don't know. There's a thing about the presentation of why we do what we do. And it's not kink. I mean, it is kink, but it's so accepted by the vanilla world. Because I look at people or characters like, you know, how they dress up Catwoman. Uh-huh. Or how they like, they just... Or The Matrix. Let's think of any other, or oh my God, I watched Tron. I'm like, that is so much latex, those poor girls. I'm like, have you ever worn latex? We do suffer for these looks. But there is something just amazing about strapping on, you know, high-laced boots or a corset, which you just don't get in everyday life.
Right.
And it's, and I, for somebody who has body issues when it comes to the tummy, let's just say it's kind of awesome to be able to have, you know, intimate time with, you know, everything pushed up in proper places.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I mean, the things that I wear, and I'm pretty sure you might feel the same way, I wouldn't wear those things out anywhere vanilla.
Hell no.
Because it's just, it's almost like you turn into someone else.
It's true. But you know what? The thing I've always noticed is the people who do wear it in vanilla life, like you have a lot of people running around with goths and they have collars on. They're not playing.
Mm-mm.
No, they're posing.
No,
they're like,
it's
like,
a fashion.
They like the fashion. So I always look twice at them. But at the same time, I have bought collars at the old, at the Hot Topic. Which I'm really kind of sad. They don't have cheap collars anymore. I was like, oh. Someone went vanilla on me. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, there's a certain sort of sexiness to the whole look of it and the aesthetic of it. And I mean, how many times do people actually dress up for sex?
Or right.
Seriously,
yeah.
Like there's presentation.
Oh yeah.
And there's a theater to it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially role playing. Oh my God, role playing. When you have costumes and props and just, it's awesome. I mean, my favorite, can I share?
Yes,
my,
please.
Okay.
Please.
Why I do the things I do. When I was starting out, I was experimenting with my long-term boyfriend and I thought, oh, I should coax him into the lifestyle too because I knew I was into it and I wanted to sort of convert him along. I said,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to create this scenario and I'm going to write it all out and I'm going to send him a letter about what this evening is going to be
romantic.
Like.
How romantic.
I know. It was so cute. I had a little French maid's outfit on. I had a whole scenario about, you know, this rich baron coming in from town and I was the naughty maid.
I love it.
I was the naughty maid who was not keeping up with the house and, you know, and I was, you know, fucking up dinner and drinks and he had to punish me. And it was the most erotic thing because yes, hello, it was my long-term boyfriend who I had like for, you know, 7 years. But it was a, like we saw each other in such different ways because you get to lose part of yourself. You get a certain freedom when you're playing a role, which you just don't get in normal life.
Yeah.
So it allows you to kind of act out. And there's so much pressure to be your certain role in vanilla life and to be the perfect boyfriend or be the perfect girlfriend. And we get to say, no, I'm not your perfect girlfriend tonight. I'm a naughty maid who's just needs to be put in her place. Havoc ensues. It was awesome.
Now, tell us, what is your favorite type of, I mean, I think I know what your favorite type of play is, what you like to do most.
What I like to do most? I think what I like to do most is what I've been doing with you. I mean, I love my predicament bondage, which I don't do that enough. New Year's resolution late.
Yes.
Let's do more of that.
Yes.
By the way, I need someone to do it on. So anybody listening, please.
This is an open call.
Yes, this is an open call. Anyhow, I love my predicament bondage, but there, what I love to do is, especially going out and playing with you in Smite Full Center is so much fun. But you know, you get dressed up, you go over to the boy's house, he makes you dinner, he opens up a glass of wine. So, and you know, he's usually half naked or naked at the time,
yeah.
Which is a wonderful way to start. Who wouldn't love that? Then we get ready. We go out to the dungeon. We meet up with our awesome friends. And then we do a lot of, how do we, I love me some CBT. girls, little note out there. Most boys love to have their nuts tugged on. I'm just going to let you know. They like a little pressure. It's awesome. They are all rewarded. The whole finger up the ass might be a little bit much. But anyhow, we start out with a lot of CBT. I like to tie them up. I like to blindfold people. Let's
yeah,
be honest.
I noticed.
Loved it because nothing gets you to subspace faster when you can't see shit. So let's tie you up and let's blindfold you. Oh, in someone else's house or someone else's club. And, you're getting them down basic levels then because they're going to say, okay, I can't see who's around me, who's touching me, who's in the room. And so it immediately, they're not going to fight with you. they're just going to trust you, because what else are they going to do besides tap out? And they're not going to tap out. They're into this. They're loving
this.
Right. So we tie them up. You know, you get the adrenaline going. You get them turned on. So a little impact play in the back. Share the love with the implements. I think the more the better, which is always good. I am thuddy, prickly, pinchy. But slapping around the dick. I don't know. I like to do Nuremberg wheels, anything that gives you a stimulation, because it's all about getting the blood going and it's all about turning on your body. Because when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, we're all running around with clothes and underwear and all sorts of shoes. And most of the time our body is just kind of turned off. It has to. There's too much. If you had to go around thinking about what your clothes felt like on your body, your mind would just overload. So your sensors turn off. And once you get naked, you feel the cold, you feel people's hands running over you. I'm starting to get goosebumps talking about this. But, and then someone starts touching you, they start scratching you, they start flogging you, and all of a sudden, all your nerve endings are just firing off. And of course you're feeling vulnerable, and it's just a surge of blood going through your body. And oh yeah, she's touching my dick. Or oh yeah, she's touching my ass. And it's exciting. Oh my God. What is she going to do next? Where's the next blow coming from? Where, you know, it's just an adrenaline rush. And where do we go with this? I usually get them really tired at the end.
All tuckered out.
Because the best thing is pulling down a puddle of man at the end. You know, when they just can't take it anymore. And, you can see them, they're just exhausted. They've been to that blissful state of Zen. And I think a lot about being Zen, because you have no other choice but to be in the moment. So much of our day, you're thinking about what you're going to do next week, or have you paid your water bill, and you're just thinking about crap at work. And there's none of that. You're in your present moment, and every sensation is turned on, and you're there with that person, and nothing else matters. No, you're just there receiving and giving, and there is a zen to it, and there's a blissfulness about being able to escape from the havoc of normal everyday life.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, it is escapism. Because we get to, every now and then, we get to dress up different. We get to use different names. We get to go out with a different identity. We get to, you know, it's total escapism. Is that healthy? I like to think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, you got really excited.
I turned myself on there.
Yeah.
It's going to be frustrating tonight.
I've never seen that happen before. With you. I've never seen that happen to you.
God, I'm like kinky soapbox. I did.
Well, if there's ever a place to get on your kinky soapbox, it's definitely here.
We should tell people to call. That would be awesome. Anyone out there? Do you know why you do what you do? Because we'd love to hear it.
Yes. So the number is 800-893-9562. And you could call in and tell us what your kink is and why. Why do you do it? Why? I mean, aside from the fact that it turns you on, you know? Because really, oh, God, damn. I guess, okay, so, oh, man. Yesterday, with everything that was going on and just being so close to Smiteful and just, it was like service overload.
It was exhausting.
Well, I mean, not like, it wasn't like physically it wasn't like she was having me like carry fucking cinder blocks or anything, but like,
No, it's just being on.
Yeah.
It's like meet and greet the whole time.
Yeah. And so she and I have, you know, we have protocol and we have those things, and it takes, I'm not to that point where it's so completely second nature that I don't think about it. You know, I'm still just, I have to be very aware of what's going on, where we're at, and anticipating, you know? So it just, as exhausting as that can be, that's probably the largest part of the draw for me, that I get to do this for someone who cares, someone who gives a shit.
That's important. Lots of people do it for people who do not give a shit or recognize that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, in normal vanilla life. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sucks, you know? But I know that every single time that I know she's about to light up a cigarette or she wants one and I stick it out and I, you know, open up a little case for her and I light it for her, that is special for her.
Of course it is.
You know?
It's a full service.
Fuck yeah, man. You know, and just all of those little things. And they aren't meaningful gestures on my part. Everything that I do for her is to serve a purpose, to make things easier for her. So, you know, she often plays with someone else, Subgirl on the Twitter.
Hello, Subgirl.
Yeah, she's fuck, man. Fuck. She's like, dang, she's a fucking woman's hardcore. And so anyways, so sometimes she plays with her. And so I clean the furniture.
You're
afterwards.
The helper.
Yeah. I'm the helper.
Do you hand things to her?
No,
no,
no. That doesn't happen.
I can so see that nurse. Please give me a scalpel. No,
I'm not even allowed. I'm not allowed to touch the toys.
You know what? That's really smart. Let's be honest.
But, you know, like, so she'll play with her and, you know, I'll go get the cup of water. I will clean the furniture afterwards. I mean, things like that, you know, and that while they aren't directly for her, they serve her indirectly because she doesn't have to, you know, fuddle around with that.
Yeah. Isn't that fun afterwards to clean up your stuff? That is what subs are for. Yeah. They are for cleaning it up afterwards.
But yeah, you know, a huge part of the draw is that, and she, you know, every single time I hear her say good girl, even if she just hexes it to me, I'm just like, ah, and I'm melting.
Oh,
because it's, you know, I did something that she approved of. So this week was our first, we're getting on this thing where I have to exercise at least 3 times a week. And
ooh, so she's doing like the weight nutrition doming kind of
thing? Kind of, yeah.
Oh yeah. You can do that's a draw for people too. There is a it does make working out a lot different when you have somebody who will beat you for not doing that. It's wonderful motivation.
Or will completely ignore you if you don't do it, which
is worse.
Is a lot worse,
that's
yes.
Way worse.
So this was our first week with that, and of course we had just come off a weekend that was a little bit hard for us emotionally, and I worked out, and to get that good girl from her was like,
it was all worthwhile, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, and. Even when I don't get that, it's still worthwhile because everything I do for her in the back of my mind, I am serving her. You know, she doesn't have to notice every single one of my moves. I don't know if she does, but
we notice. But we know, and I've gotten some fights over this. No, you don't get to say good girl every time.
No,
you kind of got to save it. You got to save it when they're really being good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it's like a puppy that expects treats all the time for no reason.
Exactly.
but yeah, that's a huge part of it for me. And I know that so another part of what I really, really, really like, and this is no secret, God damn it, I love the humiliation.
Do you?
I do. I really do. And in no other world than ours, is it okay to call someone a loudmouthed whore and not get that look of like, wow, you're a dick?
Oh, no. No, I like the loudmouthed whore. I like the slut. I like the you dirty. Oh, God. Now sometimes I think about Mistress Melissa and I want to channel her.
Yeah.
We know a woman who is the most talented smut talker.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
It's like slang slashing. Oh my God, I just wish I could have like a fourth a bit of that.
Yeah,
it's like the Irish gab gone wrong.
Yeah the language, you know, it's a lot.
I've often wanted to create crib sheets. during scenes? Because I sometimes get with someone who's like, oh, I want to be humiliated. And I'm like, oh, I'm not really good at that. Can I write crib notes on my hand, please?
But you know, it's really, I mean, what's interesting about humiliation is that it's a very personal thing.
Oh my God, yes. You cannot call the same person a slut and a whore. Like, there's differing degrees of it. Because I think most everybody's good with like, oh, you slut. Like, I get that with my vanilla people, but you know, if you start pulling out the dicier words, you better be careful, because they're either going to hate you or there's going to be tears.
Yeah.
Nobody wants crying unless it's really intentional. It's not good at a dungeon. Let's be honest.
No, it makes that's uncomfortable.
But the humiliation, it is fun and it is so taboo.
Yeah. And you know, and it's part of something that I'm having a struggle with because I love it when Smiteful calls me names. Love it. Totally love it. But then I go back to my vanilla life and, there are, you know, issues, women's issues that are important to me.
Sure.
And I find like, I have that conflict and I haven't worked.
Or do you feel like you can't be a proper modern woman if some other woman is telling you that you're a greedy little whore?
No. I don't know. I guess I have that conflict where, okay, in this predetermined amount of time or whatever the fuck, whenever we go to a play party, whenever I'm spending extended time with her, whatever, those things are okay. But when I'm with other people with whom, you know, it's not, it hasn't been discussed, there is no consent to go down that road or whatever. I don't know. I just get this.
Oh no, it's not okay when normal people call you a bitch. No, them's fighting words. Like, no, it's not. And that's where it's fun and consensual. And for maybe outsiders, it might be a bit confusing, but there is sort of, there's this huge turn on because it is so out of the norm. And we're so taught to be, you know, to hate it, to revolt against it, and here it's like, well, hey, this is a sexy. This is turning me on.
Yeah.
I know I'm not supposed to like this, but I do.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, goodness. So we've spent a good amount of time. Yeah.
I don't know what this means. Nancy's doing hand motions.
I'm doing hand motions, yes.
Maybe we should start making letters.
Damn it. I've lost my train of thought.
We're talking about why we do the things we do, Nancy.
Yes. 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 Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, it's just at the end of the day for me, it's I'm meeting people. I'm relating to people who are creative. They're free thinkers. They're kinky motherfuckers. And I do it because, honestly, vanilla wasn't good enough. And at the end of the day, I was just not, I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't fulfilled with it. And I thought, there's got to be more.
Yeah.
It's got to get better because, you know, vanilla sex is good when it's good. But when you can take it up a notch, when you can have the 2.0 or the 3.0 version, it makes it so much better. And let me just say, ooh, here's a really good point. Mm. Okay. I get this, oh, my boyfriend never goes down on me, or, oh, we don't get foreplay. Like, is that not like the American joke that we just don't have enough foreplay?
Right.
And I'm like, hello, scene is nothing but foreplay.
Yeah.
It is hours and hours of foreplay, ladies and gentlemen. They're from the getting yourself all dolled up or naked. There is nothing but being turned on and being tantalized, you know, indoors, outdoors. It is nothing but foreplay. And it's also secret. When you're doming, there might be about a taboo about guys going down on you. I'm like, hell no. I will sit on your motherfucking face for an hour if I so want to. And you just, you know, until I'm done. And usually that's, yes, madam. Thank you, madam. Yes, please. Some more. Thank you. If I want to strap his head into a box and do this, Yes, please. Thank you, madam. More, please. So, yes, there is the foreplay. And there's it's the excitement of saying, okay, yes, sex is important. It's so important that we're taking it up a notch and we're doing things that surround it. And it's a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a really dark, beautiful thing.
You know what I'm surprised you haven't mentioned yet?
Please, because this is my first time. Help.
No, I'm surprised that you haven't made a reference to the interest you take in building shit.
Oh, hell.
So, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been remiss in the deep satisfaction and pleasure I have in making kinky shit. I would like to think I am the Martha Stewart of BDSM. I'm trying to get there. My biggest kink is the planning and the getting off on the different contraptions. Yes, I do own quite a few, contraptions.
She is an equipment whore.
Oh my God. I love it. I like the sexy furniture. No, it's just, nothing's cooler than having a contraption that, you know, has sexy stuff with it. Let's see. What do I have? I have a wonderful smother box. That is a contraption. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a box. It's a wooden box. Your head goes in it. And there's a nice pillow for the lady to sit on, which is a cutout of your face.
Yeah.
That would describe it. And it has a wonderful skeleton key with a big lock so you can lock them in. Oh, that one's really cute. I do have a yoke. I haven't used that one on you yet. My dear friend Pup made that for me in woodshop class. What else? We have all sorts of things. Oh, I love me some pulleys. Nothing is more fun than strapping somebody in leather restraints and attaching them to a pulley system so that their legs are askew over their heads.
Oh,
Oh God. I love queening chairs. I wish I had like some sort of inventory list. Okay. Oh, I have a fucking bench, which is wonderful. But let me tell you, it sucks when the relatives come over and you have to hide this shit. Okay? You do not want to mess around in my closets and garage. Yes. They're cleverly disguised in a lot of areas. Oh, and that's a whole
nother. No, go. Just go.
I could have a whole show on how to hide shit. In plain sight, okay? Let's just say, yeah, you know, there are a lot of decorative coffee tables, ottomans. It's really nice to know that you can put a hitching post ring, which is, I think it's they hitch horses to them.
Yeah.
But they're these huge heavy metal rings that are just awesome to attach subs to. And you put them right behind picture frames. I should show you. It's wonderful.
Right behind, wow.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, those big, thank you, yeah. Picture frames.
Yeah,
they get right over them. So you just take your pictures off the wall and you have like a line of fucking like rings to tie people on. And oh, yeah, I used to have a Velcro mirror over the bed. Let's see. You have to take it down in California. You do not want to be sleeping under a mirror.
Yeah, I know.
But let me tell you, industrial Velcro and those really cheap mirrors that you get at super centers, you can put them up on your ceiling as long as you don't have the acoustics on them. But when you take it down, you better have some spackle. That's all I'm saying. Experiment gone wrong, but thank God I know how to patch a hole.
Fuck, man. This woman, I swear to God, she had to build her own dungeon. She probably could.
I'm working on it.
Oh man. Well, to wrap it up, because there is a show that is after us. Oh, hi people, the next show. Hello. Basically, I think that
by the way, next show is the weekly wrap up.
Is that the next
with
show?
With Ken and Kike. Oh.
Hi Ken and Kike. Hi.
She's so pretty.
She's very cute.
I was singing dirty stuff. Ah.
Just do.
No!
All time.
Smiteful is not here. No.
Oh, are you not allowed to think naughty thoughts when Smiteful's not around?
It's not that I'm not allowed to. I just feel I feel weird doing that. Stop. Don't do that, girl over there with the blowing
see.
Of...
I can't see.
She blew me a kiss.
Aww.
I miss you, Smiteful Center.
I miss you too, damn it. You should have been here.
Damn sickness. Well, at the root of it all, I think we do it because it makes us happy.
It does.
Makes us very happy.
And it's hard. I'm not going to say this is not hard. This has its ups and downs. But it has its own rewards. I mean, and it's just, we like it. And you know what? Inside the back of my head, I know I need it. So I can say I like it all I want, but it is, it's just fulfilling this need that I have deep down in my dark soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, people. Well, you've been listening to The Love Bite. Please download our previous episodes on iTunes. And like our Facebook page, that's The Love Bite. And you can follow us on Twitter. You're on Twitter too.
I am. I am The Lady Isadora on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I do update about the naughty things I make. So if you're into it, or and cheap kinky shit, that's my other favorite thing. You can do a lot of crazy stuff for under $10. Let me just tell you. But yeah, come like us and come talk to us on Twitter. So
and so, yeah. And hopefully, Ms. Smiteful Center will be back next week. And we don't know what we'll be talking about, but we'll be flying by the seat of our pants. So that's it. Good night.
Good night.